From Capital Public Radio, this is The View from Here. First-person stories of people coping with change and responding to challenges. I'm Julia Mitrich. As I walk along 24th Street in the South Sacramento community of Meadowview, there's no way to tell whether anyone I'm passing is hungry. Yet 1 in 7 people here, and in communities across America, don't have the money or transportation to get the food they need. You might know someone who's food insecure by that definition, but you might not be aware of that fact. That's the thing about it. Hunger can be invisible, but it's everywhere. And you'll definitely find hunger here in South Sacramento.
By the last week of the month, I run out of milk, bread. I run out of all of the basics. So I'm down to tap water and rice-a-roni.
I'm Cosmo Garvin. In another South Sacramento neighborhood known as the Avenues, hundreds of people line up to receive free food from church and school distributions each month.
I don't think we're ever going to stop the fact that there's going to be people that are always going to be hungry. I'd like to think that we could make an improvement, make it less, bring more hope to folks, but I don't think we're ever going to see it stop.
Hunger is a reality for many reasons. But these communities are hungry for more than just food. Their struggles with housing, transportation, jobs, and poverty take on new meaning when viewed through the powerful lens of hunger. It reveals the built-in disparities that divide our cities into neighborhoods of haves and have-nots. This time on The View from Here, Hidden Hunger, exploring food insecurity in the overlooked neighborhoods of one of the richest agricultural regions in the country.
Chances are you've never visited one of these overlooked neighborhoods on purpose. There are no shopping malls or restaurants, no leafy parks, no banks. But there is a reputation for crime, poverty, and hunger. To wind up here, you might have taken the wrong exit off the freeway.
My name is Vernon Gillum, and we are standing on the overpass that connects Meadowview Road and Pocket Road in South Sacramento. Coming up I-5 South, making a left off of that Meadowview exit, you would be heading towards Pocket Road, a suburb area of Sacramento. And then if you made a right up Meadowview Road, you would be going to see a different side of Sacramento, which would be the middle class and lower class side. Growing up in this area and just standing right here in the middle of this connection, I can literally feel the difference with the left side and the right side.
Vernon Gillum is the basketball coach at John Still K-8 school in Meadowview. He works with the after-school education and safety program. He grew up in this neighborhood, and he says he has a great deal in common with the kids he's now mentoring.
Students at John Still will sometimes say, "Oh, are you going over the bridge? Are you going over the bridge?" Do you hear that? What does that mean?
Over the bridge to a lot of the kids that live in the Meadowview area, they assume that some of the teachers live on the other side of the bridge. So they assume that as a teacher, you're driving from a nice community coming to what the kids would consider a bad community to help out the bad kids. And so as a teacher and just as an adult in the kids' lives, I explain to them constantly that that over-the-ramp feeling is simply a feeling, and that feeling is created by you doing what you need to do to get where you want to be in this world.
Let's go over there. That A1 food stop tire stop, is A1 the nickname?
A1 tire stop has been there forever. Visited that store frequently. I remember buying chips and juices from that store. And when you see A1, then you're in Meadowview.
So as far as grocery shopping, we have Walgreens behind us. If you're living in this neighborhood between here and John Still, what's your next closest option by foot or bus?
A full-service grocery store from here to John Still does not exist. We have to go up Meadowview Road and make a right on Freeport before you get to Pocket. You then have to make a left on Florin Road, and that would literally be the closest grocery store. Walking to that grocery store from right here where we stand is almost impossible because there's no sidewalk down Freeport. Just a bike lane and two-lane traffic that most people do not want to walk down. And then trying to walk around Freeport is going to cost you another hour and a half. So no one's walking to any grocery store literally from this side of Meadowview. And that's why stores like A1 have to have groceries. The gas station has to have groceries.
And by groceries, Vernon means A1 Food Stop is stocked with boxes of instant noodles, microwave burritos, high-sugar drinks, and gallons of milk that cost as much as you'd pay in any upscale grocery over the bridge. Vernon was born in Oakland. He moved to Meadowview at age 10. Now he's helping to educate John Still students about active, healthy lifestyles. But it's hard to make healthy choices when you live in a food desert. Parts of Meadowview and the Avenues neighborhood, about 3 miles east, meet the U.S. Department of Agriculture's definition of a food desert.
There are about 2,000 food deserts in California. All are low-income communities, where at least one-third of residents live more than a half mile from a supermarket. People who live here and don't own cars can spend hours getting to and from faraway discount supermarkets. Neither Meadowview nor the Avenues is pedestrian-friendly. Both neighborhoods are cut off by freeways. But Pastor Karen Abrego of Ebenezer Christian Center says people who live in the Avenues are isolated in other ways, too. We cruised the South Sacramento neighborhood one morning.
Everybody is referring to this area as the Avenues, mm-hmm. but that's a kind of an informal name, isn't it?
Most of the streets in this immediate community are like 41st Avenue, 47th Avenue, so that's just the tag that stuck with it. Between 47th and Fruit Ridge here on MLK, there are 800 apartment units. And if you figure 4 people per apartment minimum, you're looking at over 3,000 people along this high density area.
So we got a Jiffy Mart over there.
And the AMPM.
The AMPM.
Are the only 2 stores on this street. You'll see an apartment complex back behind this strip mall and AMPM. That's all Social Security and Disability. This is actually my church. Main retail in this immediate area is this Goodwill outlet. So notice as we come up here, all the tire and all the auto repair. Apartments, auto repair. This subway is new. It's the only fast food in this immediate area.
Yeah, it's not like there's a lot of unhealthy food in the area. There's just no food.
There's just no food. Ideally, when this former Campbell's Soup factory gets fully repurposed, from what I've heard, there will be 1,100 new jobs coming to the area. So here's one little market, another little market, the Latin store, so that's like a butcher shop. Another Mexican restaurant, car wash, and then we go to the Catholic Church. That's it. That's what you got.
Yeah, so you started to realize that food was really a major issue that you needed to do something about at the church.
Mm-hmm. This church had had this program where they were getting just the surplus from local grocery stores. And they literally were just putting it out on tables in front of the church. It was predominantly vegetables that they could no longer sell and day-old bread. And I came in and I told the church, I said, okay, first of all, the liability exposure for taking this type of stuff and putting it out there is huge for the church, so we got to stop that. Number two, that's not the quality that we should be offering to the community. And so we engaged with the process to become a distributor. Sacramento Food Bank brings their truck out, drops the containers off. The second and fourth Fridays we distribute from the church. The third Friday of the month we distribute from the school.
So when's the next distribution at the church?
At the church will be this Friday.
Back in Meadowview at John Still K-8 school, learning support specialist Amaya Weiss says she's happy with the turnout for tonight's dinner. 200 families will be served chili dogs by Capital Christian, a large church from the other side of town that has adopted the school.
Families, if I could have your attention up here, please. Thank you. Welcome to our John Still family night. My name is Amaya Weiss. I am the Healthy Start Coordinator here at John Still. We're going to be serving dinner shortly, and at 5:10, I'm going to open up the clothes closet so that you're able to go and see that. So again, thank you for coming tonight.
Once a month, John Still families gather for music, games, and a meal. As Miss Amaya told me at this year's first family night, food is a powerful draw.
We've invited all John Still families to come here tonight to build community and to teach them about resources. So we're really trying to reach all of our population. That's why the signs outside say welcome families in Hmong and welcome families in Spanish and in English. Miss Erica, this is Julia.
Hi, Miss Julia.
Erica is this amazing parent that volunteers all the time in the clothes closet. Miss Julia's here learning about the needs of this community, but specifically kind of the needs when it comes to food. Miss Erica comes to all the family nights. Our Alexis is who you met. That was her daughter.
She's 8, and I have a 7 and a 9-year-old, and a soon-to-be 19-year-old. This is our Capone. He's 4th grade.
Okay.
This is our Benzo. He's 2nd grade.
I'm our Benzo!
What is for dinner tonight?
Hot dogs, Oreos, and some drinks. I don't know what kind of drink. No chili.
Okay, you want ketchup, you want mustard chili? Down there.
Benzo, do you want onions? Onions are over there!
When Amaya started working at the school 3 years ago, there was no family night. Providing food was not in her job description. But every day she saw hungry kids ending up in the principal's office first thing in the morning. She started approaching churches to donate food and clothes. Now Capital Christian is delivering truckloads of canned goods.
What is this whole room called again?
This is called the Youth Family Resource Center. Great. And this is the first room that we can go to where you can just see the food. So it's a food closet, essentially. And what I do is I let the families choose whatever they need. And then I usually make bags like this with food in it so that we have at least 30 on hand for our families that come.
Every day?
We have 76 homeless families identified right now. So we're 37 bags behind right now.
What are we looking at here?
So we are looking at canned goods, non-perishable items, vegetables, soups, fruit, beans, things that families can have to take home with them to sustain them, usually after their food stamps have ran out, or if all they have is a can opener and a microwave. So that's why our canned goods are always best to keep in bags so that we can just hand them to our families straight away.
And how do you actually approach them to give them the food?
I used to do these loads of bags of food for family nights, and people would not take them. And I just didn't understand. I was not happy about it. And I've learned that there's different ways to serve people, and there's different angles to come at people with. And I'm really good at, I call it backdoor. So I'm sort of like, will you please take this off of my hands to give to your neighbors if you guys already have enough? Because I think there's something very vulnerable and very primal about saying I don't have food. Because the mere fact to me that you're at John Still, in my mind, I believe that you deserve full service. Food baskets, fruits, counseling, all 970 of them. So now we'll go next door to the clothes closet. And then this room was created because so many of our families needed clothes. This is where they are. This is the one-stop shop. So all of these clothes really are for all of our families. And so when I go on home visits and the parents say my kids aren't coming to school because they don't have jackets, that's where it really started. Kids were missing school because they couldn't walk in the rain.
And just to mention, it is a huge room. It's as big as your resource center.
Yes, it is.
It's the size of a couple classrooms.
Yes, it is. And
did you commandeer this, or was this given to you?
I sort of begged and borrowed for it. And I'm also changing the name to the Hope Closet rather than the Clothes Closet, because I don't want people to feel embarrassed about coming to the Clothes Closet. I don't want that stigma to be created, but the Hope Closet, because that's what it's really meant to do, provide hope.
Amaya's Hope Closet serves 970 students and their families who live near the school in Meadowview. Earlier this year, the food closet was full. Now there are maybe 75 cans on the shelf. In a community where there is no farmer's market and no supermarket, John Still is building a school garden to show students how fruits and vegetables grow. To better understand who is hungry in our community and why, we visited food banks across Sacramento County. Here are some voices from our Hidden Hunger story booth.
My name is Kotika Ravori. I really need this food bank towards the end of the month when I'm running low. I do work, but my utility bill this month is $300. My job, I only get paid $10 an hour. I have a family of six people. When you come here, you can feed your brain with books. They have different resources as far as jobs, medical. It's a food bank, but you get so much more than just a meal. You get, you know, hope.
My name is Lonnie, and I came today to receive food to help my family, and I really appreciate the help. I think people don't come to food lockers is because they're embarrassed. Just from my own family, I have had siblings who actually needed help. And I said, hey, you know, you ought to go to this food locker with me because that's what they're here for. But for whatever reason, I think it's just embarrassed. That's something that parents try not to let the young ones know, you know, that they're low on food, you know. So sometimes you won't eat, but you'll feed your family just to make the ends meet.
My name is Tammy. I come here for the food because I'm on SSI. When you're on SSI, your money goes towards your bills. And since we don't get food stamps, I need to get food. People don't realize low income is really low income, you know? People ask me all the time, how can you go to a food locker and stand there? Well, go to my house, stay there for a week and see how hungry you are. If it wasn't for a place like this, I don't know what a lot of us would do.
To hear more voices from the front lines of food insecurity and learn about organizations working to expand food access and provide food assistance, go to our website, theviewfromhere.org. You can read full-length versions of these neighborhood stories and see photos. You're listening to Hidden Hunger on Capital Public Radio's documentary series, The View From Here. This is Hidden Hunger from Capital Public Radio's documentary series, The View From Here. I'm Cosmo Garvin. The Avenues is a South Sacramento neighborhood without a farmer's market or a full-service supermarket. Parts of the community are designated as a food desert where, by definition, more than 20% of people live in poverty. Many qualify for Social Security or disability incomes. Some live in low-income housing.
My name is Kimberly Gibson, and I'm at MLK Village on 47th and Martin Luther King. It's been a tough year, a real tough year. I have a car, however, I just wrecked it.
What happened?
Yeah, I broke my neck.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was in the hospital for 12 days, but it wasn't a bad accident, but now I'm kind of stuck. I have degenerative disc disease, so I'm disabled, so it's really difficult for me to walk any, you know, length. My counselor here will take me to the grocery store when I need to go, but you run out of money. And I hate buying over at AMPM or at King's Market because they're so expensive. I go grocery shopping usually only once a month, and then the church will fill in when I'm starting to run low. By the last week of the month, I run out of milk, bread, I run out of all of the basics, and I'm kind of scrounging in my cupboard, trying to get the most out of the food banks that I can.
We're getting close to the end of the month now. Is that happening now?
Yeah, that's happening now.
What do you got left in my cupboard?
What do I have left? So I'm down to tap water and rice-a-roni. That was my breakfast and dinner last night. I really get irritated by not having enough money to get through the month, enough food to get through the month. It just makes you not feel like doing anything. It's depressing, you know, and of course you're not getting the calories that you should, so that affects your mood. It makes me feel weak under the weather, and I've been sick this year, so I feel like I need a lot of protein. I'm usually not a big meat eater, but I've been buying a lot of red meat, and it's getting pretty expensive.
Do you do food stamps or anything like that?
No, I don't qualify. I'm on Social Security, on SSDI, yeah. Well, if I could have food stamps in addition too, that would work out great. I would probably make it through the month. But, you know, $800 doesn't go very far in a month.
What do you have to cover with that $800?
Rent, phone, SMUD, PG&E, car insurance, food. That takes out a big chunk right there, the food. Well, I figure $300 a month I put in my budget for food and toiletries, shampoo, all that stuff. And I do have a cat and a dog, so I have to add that into my equation.
So where do you like to do your shopping?
I usually go to Food Max because I think it's a little cheaper than Walmart right now. I don't know. When I have my own car, I will go to the 99-cent store, Walmart, Food Max, and a couple other places where I can get things inexpensively.
I asked Kimberly to let me tag along on her once-a-month shopping trip. She lives alone, and since she wrecked her car, her transportation has been provided by a community assistance program. I went with her to Food Max.
I'm going to try and keep it under 150, really. Okay. Just basic stuff. Milk, bread, water, butter, potatoes, some kind of meat, vegetables, fruit, cheese. I'll start in the produce. Then I'll move on to the meat. I try and get cube steak because it's inexpensive, and I can usually take one piece and slice it in half, and it'll feed me for 2 days. I spent about $120, and I'm hoping this will last me at least 3 weeks. Because then Thanksgiving will be here, and then I should be covered for that last week of November. So I'll probably have to rebuy milk, and that's probably all I'll need to rebuy is milk.
That's heavy. That one's heavy.
So you just come in. We don't really have a stove. We have this little fridge, toaster oven, and then a little electric skillet.
Yeah.
I used to work for the state of California. I had a great job, great benefits, and then all of a sudden couldn't work anymore after the back surgery, which failed. It just made the pain worse. That happened when I was 30, actually, and I'm 53 now. So it's been quite a while. I still miss it every day. I miss the money. I miss just being out there in the world. You know, here, you're kind of, I don't know, it's just boring to me. It gets boring, and you get tired of running out of money. You get tired of having to budget so tight. And I had plenty of money for my daughter and I. She went to private school, you know, when I worked there, and it was great, but when that all ended, I had to move back in with my parents, and that was tough for them and us. And just, you know, feeling like I'm not productive is hard for me. I like to be busy, but I, you know, I hate to be in pain all the time too. And I'm in pain whether I do something or not. So it hurts all the time, all the time.
Kimberly lives across the street from Ebenezer Christian Center. She goes there every other Friday and stands in line with more than 100 other people, all waiting for numbered tickets that guarantee free bags of food.
If you have your number, hold it up. Let me see them. Everybody's got a number. Everybody's signed in?
Yes,
ma'am. I'm Pastor Karen, and I believe in the power of prayer. It doesn't have anything to do with your food. You're going to get your food anyway. I want to pray for your health. I want to pray for food in your household. And I want to pray for your protection. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. Te damos gracias, Señor, por este día tan precioso.
My name is Karen Abrego, and I'm the associate pastor at Ebenezer Christian Center, Centro Cristiano Ebenezer. I'm in my sixth year now. Started out predominantly working with the kids program, and it has kind of developed and segued into a community liaison position because of not only the needs of kids that are food poor within our congregation, to the enlightenment of how prevalent that was within the area around the church.
Are we ready? Everybody in their spots with their smiles? Here we go. Number one, two, and three, please.
Where do I start?
So you're gonna start here, and then you'll walk your way back over that one, okay?
And those are canned goods. These are yogurts, juices. Out of the back of the truck, we have the vegetables.
Apple.
And fruits.
Tomato.
And then these are hot dogs. So the frozen stuff we pick up this morning, so they're not out of the freezer any more than what you would do if you were grocery shopping.
Everybody gets all of those things?
Yes. It's a good distribution.
What numbers are we at? I'm at 20, 21, 22. Okay, yogurt.
What's your name?
Glory.
Glory?
Yeah.
Like,
Glory Morning.
Morning Glory. And you come twice a month?
Yeah.
Why do you come?
Because I need the food I can give to my people at my community.
How many people in your family?
I have eight.
Eight people. That's a lot.
Yeah, one senior, children, and a dog. If they get more vegetables, I give to the other family.
How come they don't come?
They have no transportation.
Oh, so you're the one
with elderly. And then when I said I'm helping, I'm not helping one ethnicity. I'm helping black, Mexican, different Asian in community.
These are your neighbors?
Yeah.
Okay.
I walk by and I see something, I make a note to it, and then the next day I give them a bag of grocery in front of their house. Sometimes I don't know who come from. I'm just like Miss Santa Claus.
63, 64, 65.
So the volunteers, a lot of them to help. As you can see, there's a lot of seniors here. They have need as well, so they get signed in and they get numbers.
The people who line up for free bags of groceries are a diverse bunch. Latino, black, white, Southeast Asian, Russian, young and old. The reasons that people rely on the church for food are as varied as the population, but there are some common themes. For many seniors, there's need, but also a desire to help.
Su nombre?
Eduardo López.
María López.
And why do they come and volunteer?
Quiere saber por qué ustedes quieren ser voluntarios acá.
Porque nos gusta y estamos en esta iglesia y queremos hacer una obra por el Señor.
Because they are members of this church and because they like it and they want to help.
Okay. It helps them as well, right?
Dice que si este servicio también le ayuda a ustedes para...
Pues, ¿cómo no? Porque, pues, comida y venimos a ver a la gente feliz cuando repartimos la comida.
Yeah, it helps them for the food and so they are happy to see the people, they are happy to get some food.
All right. If I can have your attention, please. Por favor, mi amigo, ya yo sé. Okay, so we're out of canned goods, no hay latas, and we're out of chips, okay?
So
what I have 15 names here, okay? So what we have, we'll give you. You may get two things of hot dogs and no canned goods, okay? But what we have, we'll give.
So in a little over an hour, We did 119 families. Probably 1,500 pounds of food.
Years ago, here in the Avenues neighborhood, Ebenezer started distributing free food on sidewalk tables. Then the church connected with a food bank. Pastor Karen has never advertised, but now the church serves about 300 families every month.
Back in Meadowview, learning support specialist Amaya Weiss says every bag of food she hands to her families at John Still School is a stepping stone to other resources they need to thrive. A key part of her job is making home visits to meet with school parents, like Erica Johnson.
Hello.
Hi, Miss Erica.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
So, Erica, tell me where we are right now.
We're at my home on 24th Street.
Okay. How long have you been here?
4 years. 4 years too long.
How come?
Busy traffic and then annoying neighbors. Yeah. You guys can come on in.
Thank you, darling. Excuse the noise.
We can come over here to the kitchen table.
Sure.
Where would you say food ranks within all those things that you're worried about taking care of each month?
My main concern is mainly my kids. Next thing is bills. Then my cell phone. I have to keep my cell phone on, especially for the school. My oldest, Victoria, she puts in job applications, so I have to keep the phone on for that. I only have one type of income, and it's from Housing Authority. That's why I'm really pushing to get this job over at John Still. So bills is probably the next thing on the list. Food in the middle, because whatever I don't have here, I know how to make a throw-together soup. How they say everything in the refrigerator, in the skillet, yeah. And then if I do run out of food, I know how to go to Miss Amaya. She always has a nice little food bag stacked up for you, so. She introduced me to the clothing closet.
And Erica's all really has spent hours and hours, and they're organizing the room and finding clothes. If a student is wearing too small of shoes or socks or pants or holes in the pants, Erica goes over to the clothes closet, finds the right size, and brings it back to the teacher and the student. Erica also is really good at recruiting other parents.
Even the neighbors next door always told them, if you guys ever low on food, they have a food closet for John Still parents and students. They have clothing closet. If you can't afford to get clothes, tell them all you do is ask for Miss Amaya, and they'll take you straight to her.
When you imagine someone who's coping with hunger, a single mom like Erica might come to mind. 4 kids, no job, no car. She's on food stamps. But Amaya sees much more in her, a firm and loving parent who knows how to get things done. Erica has applied for a teacher's aide job at John Still. She's still waiting to hear back. She spends around $400 a month to feed her family of 5, but it never stretches far enough.
When I'm real low on food, it's like I wake up and I'm like, okay, what are they gonna eat? I have no clue what they're gonna eat. And I sit there and I'm like, okay, guys, this is the thing. We're almost out of food, so mom has to compromise. Who wants this? Who wants that? And the only one I probably like really worry is my son Capone. He takes after me quite a bit, quite a bit. If I tell him, okay, we're running low on food, and he's like, oh my God, we gotta just try and get some more groceries in this house. And what are we gonna eat? And I'm like, don't worry about that, mama figure or something. Well, can I come here and help you look and see what we can come up with? I tell my kids and show my kids, there's a hard way of living, there's an easy way of living, and then there's an in-between of living. Right now, we're in the in-between of living, because sometimes we have hard times, sometimes we have good times, so we're like right in the middle. So if they know we're running low on food and stuff, they don't complain what I do decide to fix for them or whatever. They're like, thank you, Mom. Mom is better than nothing. At least we're eating something. When we're young, my mom used to work 3 jobs. It's like we very seldom seen her. So remembering how my mom struggled, it makes me stronger today to push myself to focus more on my kids. It's all about making things stretch, making things work. If you don't have too much food, you'll make a way to make it stretch to feed everybody. If it's only enough to feed my kids, as long as they've ate, I can come here and find me something. But the main thing I worry about is my kids eating. And my mom taught me that way. So a lot of the things I'm doing with my kids, I remember how my mom did with us.
Erica Johnson copes with food insecurity by shopping carefully, using food closets, and going without to make sure her kids eat. All these strategies are reported to the Sacramento Hunger Coalition as ways people meet the challenge of not having enough to eat. As part of our Hidden Hunger Project, we visited area food banks to learn who is hungry in our community and why.
My name is Denise, and I came to the food bank to supplement my food needs. They give out a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. We really appreciate that, myself and my family. Our finances aren't very well, and I'm on Social Security disability. I used to be a nurse, and now I'm here at a food bank. So it can happen to anyone. You never know when you're gonna need food.
My name is Wayne, and I've come to the food bank because I've been homeless for a bit. And it's been a godsend to me. I'm looking for work, and I'm in my 50s, so it's difficult to find. So getting back on your feet, you need all the help you can get.
My name is Marcia Denise Smith. I suffer from eczema, allergies, and asthma. And basically, I couldn't function at work, and I had 3 little kids. So I had to learn how to provide for them using the resources available at the time: shelters, food closets, transportation assistance to medical. So it was very hard to try to understand the process and being sick at the same time. When you have a chronic illness, it takes away from you. You know, people look at you differently and they don't know. I don't like handouts, but I'm here. I suffer just like everybody else.
Sacramento County has a range of food assistance programs, from traditional food banks to farmers markets that accept food stamps to groups that harvest backyard fruit trees. To expand your food literacy, go to our website. You'll find photos along with full-length stories about the people and neighborhoods in this show at theviewfromhere.org. I'm Cosmo Garvin, and this is Hidden Hunger on The View From Here from Capital Public Radio.
You're listening to The View From Here from Capital Public Radio. I'm Julia Mitrich, and this is Hidden Hunger, exploring food insecurity in the overlooked neighborhoods of California's state capital. 2 times a week, Amaya Weiss joins the morning Zumba class in the John Still School cafeteria. She gets to work out, practice her Spanish, and connect with parents. Right after class, she opens the Hope Closet.
So please help yourself to anything in the room. Everything is free. Todas las ropas. Gratis. Para las familias, ¿sí? Infants, clothing, I'm going to find the food, too.
I hope it's in here.
Maybe let's try the next room.
That doesn't look good.
We don't have enough bags for everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So I only have 21 bags. There's definitely more than 21 people, but it's better than no food.
Food?
Yes.
Here?
Yes. So there's, I'm going to try in Spanish. Yo tengo 22 bolsas de comida aquí. So, es todo, pero yo recibo más. La semana pesada? La semana que viene.
Next week.
Yes. Please help yourself to anything in the closet. All the books, everything is free.
Thank
you. Yes, you're welcome. And there's food in the closet. I only have 22 bags. I'm working on getting more.
Amaya is always working on getting more food. She'll ask anyone. She even asked me while I was interviewing her. She hands out food everywhere she goes, to the Zumba ladies and to tired or stressed out students. She brings bags of food on every home visit. She jokes that she introduces herself like this. Hi, I'm Amaya. Please take this bag of food.
I'm from Sacramento originally, but my mom is from Mexico. My dad is from Bolivia. They only have high school diplomas. I obviously have an advanced degree, and then so does my brother and my sister. So I think education has kind of been the theme my whole life and for my kids and even probably now with my work. I never felt hungry, but I always was aware that we didn't have as much money. I think that hunger goes past race, religion, creed. I think that when you're with people that are hungry and you can meet those gaps, that other possibilities can happen. Social skills, for example, math, science, art. I think that when we don't meet those needs, we're just moving backwards. We're all moving backwards, not just those kids, but all of us, because our children are in classrooms with those children. From what I see at John Still, I think sometimes when you're in chaos and you're in trauma, it just becomes less important to eat. We're talking about getting counseling services for a child whose parents just got a double life sentence, or we're talking about serious, serious things right in the moment. What I do with the work I do is I sort of drop little pebbles of food. That's what that grocery bag is. And so I just want that bag to be kind of the beginning of a conversation. It's an invitation. That's what it is. So it's not meant to be a quick fix. It's meant to be the beginning of a relationship so that we can help you take the steps to make a better life for yourself.
42. My hug?
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
She got you, huh? Okay, you know the rule. No smile, no food. Just for you. That's better. Okay. Yo.
Pastor Karen Abrego is a very busy person. As she puts it, she's bivocational. For the past 5 years, she worked full-time for Ebenezer Christian Center. But a year ago, budget cuts forced her to find another job to pay the bills. Now she works for a state lawmaker and also serves as associate pastor at Ebenezer.
My faith has been a part of my life since my childhood. I'm going into about 30 years worth of ministry now. I've done a lot of years working with children, but I've also always had a heart for the underdog. I had a rough upbringing. I had a lot of times where I was a victim of abuse in my own home. And then I was in an abusive marriage. So my heart and my compassion for people that find life hitting them with blows that they didn't expect became magnified, I guess you could say, after some of the life experiences I had. It kind of hurts my heart from time to time to see so much need and to feel like sometimes I wish people could see it the way I see it. And see the hearts of the people, get to know the faces, get to know the stories. Nobody's ever asked for food. They've asked for opportunity. More than just handing out a bag of food, there needs to be a comprehensive plan where the faith-based community, the policy community, the industrial community begin to stop being so siloed in their approaches to things, that they start working together.
What I saw in the avenues was really the scale of the problem. It's one thing to report a number like 17% of people in Sacramento are food insecure, but you don't necessarily know what that really means or what that looks like. But when you go to a food pantry or a church food distribution, and then you go to another one the next day and another one the next day in another neighborhood, and you do that for a couple of weeks, you start to get more of a feel for the level of need. The other thing I saw is that not having enough to eat is just the tip of the iceberg. Hunger is just an indicator of all the things that can go wrong in people's lives. Health is a huge wild card. If you don't have your health, you can't work, you don't have some pretty big support from family, then things can get pretty dire pretty fast. Looking at hunger on the neighborhood level, you really get a sense of how the built environment can really work against you when you're poor. We know that neighborhoods with the cheapest housing can be some of the most inhospitable places for human beings. For huge numbers of people, we're saying that because you're poor, you deserve to live in this neighborhood, if you can call it a neighborhood, with no grocery store, no bank, no library, no sidewalks, no green space, no transportation, none of the things that we take for granted in more affluent neighborhoods.
The thing about Sacramento is that there is a growing sustainable agriculture movement here, and there are people working to improve food access. So you'll find food literacy for kids and farm workshops for growing your own groceries, mobile food banks. There are even efforts to get corner stores to carry good and affordable produce. But what I saw through my reporting in Meadowview is that the people in this neighborhood aren't connected to these opportunities. And Meadowview is not the only place in Sacramento where this is happening. So I asked Amaya Weiss the big question.
Do you see an end to hunger for still families?
I do. I do see an end to hunger because I see that this farm-to-fork movement can break barriers in the sense that in Meadowview, in places that are of lower socioeconomic means, people can have gardens in their own backyards. And I think it's going to be a slow moving train, but I see it coming, and I see it's more than it was 8 years ago when I was in Meadowview. I see the kids in the after school program drinking smoothies with spinach in them. I mean, I know it's there. I see it, but I do feel like it's going to take a while. And there's a huge education piece that's really going to have to come at it from a grassroots level.
There's so many positive people that want to change this neighborhood and have been gradually changing it.
Coach Vernon Gillum has literally rolled up his sleeves on a Saturday and persuaded his basketball players to pick up shovels, get dirty, and help build John Still's first school garden. Go get a shovel!
And what does it mean to you that John Still is starting a project like the community garden?
It means a lot because in neighborhoods like this, we don't really have access to fresh fruit gardens and vegetable gardens. And so with this, the kids will be able to see what they're supposed to be eating. Fruits and vegetables are expensive. And so when you can plant them and grow them yourself with a little dirt on your hands and a little sweat on your face, it makes it all worth it. Some of these younger kids may have never even seen a backyard. This is also exercise. A lot of these kids on a Saturday would prefer to be watching cartoons and eating cereal and listening to music or playing one of these hundred of electronics that they probably own, but they're out here getting their hands dirty, carrying around shovels, and then their little arms are going to be burning later tonight just due from the hard work.
I can't get enough.
Being from Meadowview or being born in Meadowview is never going to stop you from doing anything. You don't have to be from the other side of the overpass to overcome all of the obstacles in your life. And so we're really just trying to build up all the positivity that we can. And with fruits and vegetables, it works because it's positive eating and it's healthy habits. And once they start learning those, then it'll make a lot of things a lot more easier in their young lives, their future young lives.
Look at all that good soil. There's lots of yummy food in there for the plants. Here, do it this way and pick it up.
Let's pour it, Linda.
You can read full-length stories about the people and neighborhoods featured in this program, see photos and videos, and learn more about food insecurity at our website, theviewfromhere.org.
Special thanks to Erica Johnson, Kimberly Gibson, Vernon Gillum, Amaya Weiss, and Karen Abrego for sharing their stories.
The View From Here is a production of Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. Executive producer, Joe Barr.
Reporters are Julia Mitrich
and Cosmo Garvin,
with multimedia producer Andrew Nixon. The senior editor is Alan Ray.
Our digital team includes Marnette Federis, Melody Stone, and Al Gibbs.
Jessica Maria Ross is our community engagement specialist.
Music by Kathleen Flynn, with Crit Harmon, Francesco Riva, and Barry French.
The View From Here's interns are Kate Gonzalez and Jonathan Ayestas.
See and hear stories from Sacramento food banks at the Hidden Hunger Story Booth.
The View From Here is funded in part by the California Endowment.
Hidden Hunger was produced by Catherine Stifter and Paul Conley. For more on this show and the series, visit theviewfromhere.org. Thanks for listening to The View From Here from Capital Public Radio.